Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, they call me Pook. I'm from these streets. Somehow, I live to see my 18th birthday. I managed to graduate from juvenile detention to adult prison. People try to tell me I should grow up be a man. But I'm the best man I know. Somebody asked, where I see myself 10 years. Man, I'm just trying to survive these streets day by day.
BFC Institute needs your help to reach the Pookies across America. Please support our traveling educational lecture series addressing perceived threats to African American males. To learn more, please visit us at bfcinstitute.com. That is bfcinstitute.com. Simply click the red sticker for details.
Welcome to another episode of Talk Straight, an online format that assists Building Families and Communities Institute Incorporated in reaching a national audience. Our topics cover various issues that face communities and families, and we strive to open up educational, informative dialogue that can be of great benefit to many. Our target is now 13 cities across urban America, and we hope that this particular platform will allow us to reach a larger audience of people. Thank you for joining us on this Blog Talk podcast platform, and we will be addressing some things tonight that I think are very important. You can give us a call here at 657-383-0944. Again, that's 657-383-0944. We're trying out our podcast of live streaming on Facebook, so if you're joining us tonight, we're happy that you are, and we encourage you to call in and just follow us online, and feel free to comment on some of the question threads or give your suggestions as we go through tonight's show. We've got an hour and a half here, and we hope to have Pastor Ricky Waller join us pretty soon. And you, our listening audience, again, the number to call is 657-383-0944. The topic tonight is how do I blow up? How to find success in urban America. That's what we want to talk about. Many who have challenging circumstances during their upbringing wonder, at what point does success come for me? The real question is, how does one create success for themselves despite the obstacles being placed in front of them? That's the challenge, and that's what we hope to address tonight and to answer. For our new listeners, we use various forms of music, genres of music, to help intimate the point, but more importantly, to identify the character and the issues that we're talking about tonight, okay? So we will be using some of that, and some of it is rap, some of it is rhythm, blues, so whatever the case may be, tonight we're going to have some rap. And we're also going to hear a little bit of a discussion with Dr. Ben Carson, Carson, who is the Secretary of HUD Department, United States HUD Department. Okay, but before we do that, again, for our new listeners, I offer a monologue which provides some context for our conversation, and hopefully we'll have some sort of framework by which we can communicate. I don't expect that everybody's going to agree with my position. My hope, though, is that your thoughts and mine together will bring something, but we will certainly, when I say we, I mean myself, I will certainly bring it up to in the rear and give some sort of closure to our dialogue. If we need to, we'll go do further study, and we will perhaps extend that conversation or dialogue appropriately. All right? Having said that, we're going to move into our monologue now, and then we hope you'll give us a call here at 657-383-0944. This is Talk Straight. Yours truly, Reverend Dockery, is your host, and I hope to engage you in some substantive conversation. How do I blow up? How to find success in urban America? Jeremiah, the 29th chapter and 11th verse reads, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, said the Lord, the thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." Psalms 81 and 11 reads, "For the Lord is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly." That's scriptural text today. All right. Now let's talk about urban America. Let's kind of give some background and understanding of what it is. The concept of urban America has its origin in the social progression of once called Negro Americans, who migrated from southern plantations of the United States to larger industrial cities beginning in around 1940, as we discovered in a previous show. While European immigrants were also those who lived in these urban areas and shared a type of urban experience, they were not the victims of government and even private business industries developing policies and procedures that made social mobility challenging, if not altogether impossible. By default, the concept of urban, quote-unquote, became synonymous with ghetto, quote-unquote. Subsequently, a major code phrase for referring to Negro, Black, or African American people is urban Americans. For many, it was both vague but yet selectively descriptive enough for everybody to know exactly who was being spoken of. If you have a giant in the room, this giant has been mentally asleep for years, and being in such a deep sleep, it became easy to manipulate them for political, social, and economic gain. You don't mess that good thing up by shaking him, this giant, into reality with the truth about his circumstance, but rather you appease him. Make him happy. Keep him lulled to sleep with such catchphrases as socially economically disadvantaged. That sounds so much better. We're going to tell you you're poor and you need to do something for yourself. Or you're just underprivileged or economically challenged. You're a minority. That's a badge of honor now. Or even an urban American. But as long as he is asleep, others can prosper from his inaction and keep him working for them. And all he could ever do is dream for better days. A serious risk factor for growing up in urban America is becoming a victim of what we discussed in a couple of shows ago, the ghetto trap syndrome, or GTS. It's one of the drawbacks or potential risk factors there. But there's great news tonight. And the good news is there's a cure for GTS, ghetto trap syndrome. And it's called success. Behavioral psychologist Abraham Maslow introduced the theory of self-actualization. It involves the process of working to achieve a level of personal victory or achievement. However, there is a catchphrase most common across urban America. It's called blowing up. This euphemism means to become successful in a short period of time. In other words, I don't really have to do a whole lot of work, right? But I want to be successful. Unfortunately, it also causes one to avoid wanting to be disciplined in their thought and action, planning and working hard for what they're trying to achieve. Most often than none, this achievement is short-lived, either because of early death due to engaging in risky-like behaviors that are not well thought out, or because an individual gets something in large quantities and then they lose it because they mismanage what they got. Or they wind up locked up in jail because they got it so fast through less than legal means oftentimes. Unlike an overnight triumph, success, however, is long-lasting. Success is the accomplishment of an aim or purpose, right? A person or thing that achieves desired aims or attains prosperity. This is the key to overcoming the doldrums of urban America. Now, I can speak from personal experience, having the experience of growing up in housing projects of the urban ghetto, or the concrete ghetto, as we used to say, called Chicago, Illinois. I'm grateful for my upbringing, and I'm glad for the lessons I learned. And that's why I'm here talking to you today, as a matter of fact. But nonetheless, there's hope that if that was a part of your experience and those that are currently there now, and not just the projects, people that live in socially, economically deprived or poor, poverty-stricken neighborhoods, it's not the property or the buildings, it's the individual, it's the mindset. And that's what we want to speak to tonight. So before I open up the phone lines, I would like to offer six considerations for finding success, be you a male or female, having come through challenging, difficult experiences. There's hope for you to be successful and not just blow up overnight. Development, the first consideration is developing your own constitution of self-governance. This is the first step to independence of thought and action. And it won't allow anybody to define you nor your potential. Number two. Determine what it is that you're pursuing. Don't let somebody else plant a thought in your mind that don't belong to you, because eventually you'll run away from it. But determine what's important to you and what must you do today to get you to that end. And what would it take to get you there? All right? Number three, don't settle for being normal. Find young people in public school settings when I used to teach, found all the time they were just happy getting by and getting along. That's not good enough. The most successful people in the world in history have been extraordinary. And if you're not willing to go beyond what's just required, chances are you'll wind up with the rest of the folk back there at the starting line. Okay? Number four, be honest and realistic about the goals that you set for yourself. Too often, particularly young men, they have dreams, right? And they want to be a star athlete or want to be a popular musician. They want to be a rap artist, or they want to be a doctor, or they want to be a lawyer, but they're not realistic about what they do with themselves every day, such as reading and studying and being disciplined enough to prepare yourself for that. You've got to be honest with yourself, if nobody else. You're the greatest beneficiary, of either failing or succeeding in that goal, and that's the motivation for it. Number five, prepare yourself to reach back and to give someone else a leg up, perhaps like you got. The reality is, this concept is called reciprocity, and it leads to your continued success. The Bible says, if you give to the poor, you're lending to the Lord, and you can't go wrong. Amen? All right, I didn't come to preach, but I felt my help right there. Lastly, six, you should plan on somebody challenging your goal, your dream, your aspiration. But develop a sense of resilience such that no matter what your ultimate goal is or how you measure your success, inevitably there's going to be some roadblock, some challenge. You may have to make a detour, right? You're going to make some mistakes perhaps, but it's a learning process. And because it's a learning process, don't be upset, but be prepared to get in there and take advantage of that which you learn. The difference between success and failure is whether you learn from the mistakes or setbacks and persevere, taking that information and making something out of it for yourself. That's the difference. All right. Now we got my good friend Pastor Waller on the line with us, and I appreciate him being here, and looks like 1098 is with us. I got Miss McCarthy, classmate of mine from Fisk University. I think she's in Ohio, I believe. I may be wrong, but thank you for joining us on Facebook. Feel free to give us a call, you and everyone else, 657-383-0944. How do I blow up? How can I find success in urban America? Do you want to blow up or do you want to be successful? Pastor Waller, how you doing, sir?
I'm doing all right. Thank you. How you doing, Pastor?
Mighty fan. It's always a pleasure. Always a pleasure, sir. And 1098, well, you know, I mean 1080, I'm sorry. How you doing, sir?
How are everybody doing?
Good. I want y'all to help me with something. Do I choose to want to blow up, and you heard what I described blowing up meaning, that's getting it fast overnight, or do I want to put the work in to be successful? What about it, Pastor Waller?
You said a lot there. I know that, man. I mean, you loaded up with what you had to bring to the table. I tell you, man, you're talking about wanting to blow up, wanting to get it extremely. I mean, I don't know why you want to pick on me, but I think it's appropriate.
You know I love you, though.
Yeah, man. I think it's appropriate. That's what I say. You know, I need that reminder of, you know, when a person is in a deep sleep, man. I mean, I don't think you have to have your eyes closed to be asleep, though.
No, you don't.
And even to your ears. I mean, I think I saw and was able to hear a lot of things that actually put me to sleep.
Wow.
And, you know, once I went into the sleep, as I walked around, went about my life, trusted in me and things of that nature, if you don't mind, I'll share this. I saw a lot of money in my days, in my young days. I saw a lot of money. I didn't have it, but I was able to see the money. And I'm talking about it wasn't those Kroger's bags. You know how they go to Kroger's and get those Kroger bags, and then you put the money, whatever you put in your bags, I mean, from canned goods to whatever you go purchase at the store. These were the bags, the brown bags, those big bags and everything that you go to the grocery store. And I've seen money like that before, and I started to dream about it. And what happened? When I was asleep, I just had a handful of money. I mean, it was just in my hand. And when I woke up, it wasn't there. That record terrorized me. And I don't think they meant any harm by allowing me to see that type of money, but it caused me to dream about it. And as I said, you know, once I came out of the dream and discovered that in my hand was not one penny.
You thought you had something.
It terrorized my little mind.
Right.
And that led me to a chase. And so I went after it. You know, I chased after it. And you know, and it caused a lot of harm. And I think when you said something about that, it kind of gave me a time to recall and say, man, it's amazing how a person would want to have that success, even though that wasn't good success, but it was success. And it caused a lot of friction. So, you know, I thank God for you bringing that up, man. It's a great reminder. And I'm sure a lot of people are dealing with that today.
Sure.
And
sure.
Society
sure.
can present things to you that can capture your mind and heart and put you in a deep sleep and start dreaming, I guess. I don't know, but it sure happened to me. So
yeah. It's going on a lot, Pastor. And I think Charles will tell you he probably see it every day in his profession. People come in with pipe dreams, you know. And there's nothing wrong with a man expiring for something and wanting something, right? But one of the considerations that I offered, the six things, is be realistic and be honest with yourself. If you hadn't put no work in, why do you expect to get something out? You know what I mean? Sometimes, Charles, young cats think, you know, the world owe me something just because I am who I am. And that sounds good and grandiose, but the reality is they don't owe you nothing, man. What do you think about that, Charles?
Yeah, I feel like anything is worth having is definitely worth, you know, worth waiting for. Everything I guess
is
kind of lost. You got to put that work in because it ain't just – it's a lesson that goes along the whole journey. That's what people miss out on. They try to take the shortcut, but at the same time, you don't want to take the shortcut because the journey – there's different stuff you're gonna go through, you know, during the journey. You wanna be there and experience all that, all the another trials and tribulations. It's gonna make you better in the future.
That's right. It sure will.
Charles, I wanna play Mike Jones, and he said back then they didn't want me, but now I'm hot. They all on me. Listen to Mike Jones for a second. That's a case study, Charles, and I want us to speak for that case study for just a second.
Hey, bro. Yeah, this is a salad, man. What's going on? You're going to believe who I seen last night, man. Tisha. Yeah, the one I did you last year.
Word?
Man, she was buzzing for your number, kid.
You are.
Remember back then, she ain't want you. Now you have to. I was on you.
Back then, they did want me. Now I'm hot. They all on me. Back then, they did want me. Now I'm hot. They all on me.
I just watch how you get it. You know, I like Gold's Ear.
Me too.
But
there's something I like about it too, though.
It is. But you know, it's the way you go about it, the way you get it. It feels much better. You know, you work hard for it and stuff.
Can I ask you this, though, Charles? My brother, can I ask you this? Is it more of a fad? Because when you get to a certain age, there's no glory in it anymore, right? You expect it to be on a different... Huh?
Is it a fad? I don't think it's a fad.
Yeah.
This is my part of the jury that we're talking about. Part of the jury, is it a fad?
Well, you,
I don't think it's
okay.
a fad. I don't think so.
Okay, so I remember, Charles, when the thing was to get you a 75 Chevy, and they call it laying it out, you know what I'm saying, having it tricked out, right? You had them spoilers on it. Had you a couple of dice in the front and the back, you know what I mean? And if you could, you could put you a sunroof on there. And you had your pimp stool in the middle. You know what I'm saying, Charles? That was, I mean, that was a lick, man. but then you got to grow up and face reality, man.
You do.
What was it for?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah,
but
that's
a young
right.
guy. Go ahead, Pastor.
Yeah, I was getting ready to bring something to Charles' attention, man. You remember, and I know he don't mind sharing it. I mean, this man is so gifted, man. Let me share something with you, Pastor.
Okay.
I was down to the barber shop, you know, and he and I came outside, and he had some sticks in his hand.
What?
And I mean, yeah, man, no drums or anything, just some little small sticks. What were those in your hand, Charles?
Yeah, it was
kind of,
it was something like a
drumstick. Look here, man. If you had seen how this man was handling those sticks, man, I mean, flipping them and turning them and, I mean, beating, you know, like he was doing a set of drums, man, like he was really playing.
Isn't that right?
And I was so fascinated by it because I'm used to going to Tennessee State football games and watching them drum majors and how they get out, and he was
hesitating.
You know, with those little things, and he said, those wasn't even drumsticks.
Okay.
I said, man, wait a minute, hold it. He said, yeah, man, I used to love that, man. I dreamed about being one. I wanted to go to Tennessee State and do this and that. And what I'm saying is this, man. The gift had you to see how he handled those sticks, man. You know, am I right, brother? And
right,
I realized, you know, how patient a person has to be. But he didn't go on to pursue it, I don't think, is what I'm saying. And it just reminded me of how I was dealing with the basketball. So, but at least he still knows how to handle it. He can teach somebody else. Man, I mean, he was twirling them all between his fingers and things like that. Wait a minute, brother. How did you do that? And, it was just something that he was doing coming up, and I think that's a beautiful thing. So I'm watching the gifts and talents that sometimes people have to learn how to wait and be patient, which is something that I myself didn't do. So there's no telling what he would have been able to do with those drums, even though he's just as gifted doing what he do now, you know, at the barbershop.
Right.
But, man, that was just awesome. I thought I'd bring that to the table. Kind of expound on that, if you don't mind. Tell us a little something about that.
Yeah, I mean, I played in high school, and I was going to play with TSU Denver. It's like,
oh, Charles, you holding out on me, man.
Yeah,
Charles, you've been holding out on me, brother.
I've been practicing since fifth grade all the way up to ninth, and I went through 12th grade and I played in the band. But I didn't even go to TSU, man. That was the whole dream. I did all that practice from fifth grade all the way through high school. Sixth grade, my freshman year, all the way through my senior year, then I get to college, and I just, man, let it all go. That was the whole dream, to go to TSU.
Charles, can I share a secret with you? I'm a drummer, man. I'm a drummer.
Oh, you said Charles, man?
Charles, I told my son to play. He's a better drummer than I am now. But that's all right, man. You're all right with me, Charles.
Coming up, man. Man, you don't see kids want to get excited about that no more, man. They missing out on a whole lot. They just don't know.
But, you know, that's interesting, though, gentlemen. That's interesting because, you know, you have these talents and these gifts that nobody can take away from you, right? Nobody gave them to you. They came natural. But then life happens. Then life happens. And you find yourself have to grow up and deal with the realities of life. And you have to say to yourself, that's what my passion is. That's my thing. But I ain't going to make no money like that.
Right.
You follow what I'm saying?
Right.
And too often we get caught up in the dream of success that we don't spend enough time planning and strategizing for our success. What do you think about that?
I totally agree. Because you gotta put some feet in motion. It ain't enough just to sit there and think about it and talk about it, man. You gotta get them feet in action. Once you get them feet in action, you know you're on your way to head towards success. But just sitting there talking about it, I mean, it's a good conversation. Don't get me wrong, but it ain't until you put
feet
in motion.
Right.
They say faith without work is dead. I believe it. I know it to be true. So it won't come to pass. No, God, he'll help you out. He'll give you the vision, but, man, you got to take some steps. I mean, you just take baby steps to it. It'll come to pass, but you got to make those feet happy. That's when you know you're on your true road to success, when your feet start lining up with the vision.
I believe he snuck a preacher in on us, Pastor.
I think so. That's all right. But that's true, though.
I mean,
you know?
And here's the thing. When you're putting the work in and it's not so much fun, you're not enjoying it as you want to because it's a hobby and something you want to do, I think people get distracted, brethren, and they run away from even their own vision. And sometimes they're doing so well that they become afraid of their own success. And so they sabotage the good that they've been doing. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Yeah, that was deep right there.
You got young cats out there.
It was.
Got good skills, got great skills, but the thought that, dang, I'm doing this? People are paying attention to me. And you understand? It scares them.
Right.
That's an interesting thing there. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, Charles.
I was just going to say, it's just probably the fear of failure. That's what it is. All those eyes watching, it's either you're going to make it or you're going to break, or you're going to fall. And people don't want they scared to fall in front of somebody. Nobody wants to fall in front of somebody. Everybody want to guarantee, their success.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, you know, which is why that was one of the things that I pointed out. Prepare yourself for setbacks. Every day ain't going to be Sunday. Right? And everything ain't going to be peachy cooey all the time. Sometimes you're going to have to get nitty gritty and get dirty with it. You know?
That's it.
Don't assume that. Now, what happens is when you have generational wealth already stored up, it's a lot easier for you because you're not struggling as much, right? But there's a benefit coming to growing up with a struggle. Because every time you overcome a challenge, you're stronger for it. If it don't kill you, it's going to make you stronger. And that's the blessing in your struggle, especially when you learn something from that struggle. See, some people go through life, they don't learn nothing, man. They're just as dumb as they were when they started. I ain't trying to disregard anybody. I'm just, you know, we have to teach young people that if you go through something, have situational awareness, keep your ears and your eyes open, and learn something from it. So you don't have to keep repeating that same cycle and setbacks and what have you. You can get better from it. You can get better from it. So, but great point. Let me do this, gentlemen. It's 657-383-0944. This is Talk Straight. Your host, Reverend Dockery. I got Brother Charles and Pastor Ricky Wallon with us, our regular in-house panelists, and the author of Still High. Go to www.bfcinstitute.com and check it out. Good book, powerful book. He is a inspirational and activist and teacher in his own right and pastor, and got a very powerful message. We want you to support him as he support our effort to bring this lecture series across urban America. But we're going to take a quick break, and then when we come back, I want you to listen, Charles, to Dr. Ben Carson. He engaged in a conversation with this lady, man. And the point I want to make, let me not get ahead of myself. Let's do this quick break, and then we'll be right back.
Hello, listening audience. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight and being a part of a national dialogue designed for proactive change. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. I'm grateful again to engage each and every one of you in very important conversation. I need your help as I endeavor to take this message and the conversation we share on air to targeted cities and urban areas across America with the hope and desire to improve the quality of lives by engaging communities and proactive strategies. You can be of great help by going to our webpage, www.bfcinstitute.com. Click on the donation tab or the contact us tab and find ways that you can assist us by either purchasing our items or just making a donation on our secure PayPal site. If you are a business or someone who would like to make a corporate level contribution and you would like more information, please give me a call at 615-498-4669 or send me an email at bfcinstitute@gmail.com. That's bfcinstitute@gmail.com, or give us a call at 615-498-4669. We are glad to share with you and provide you all the necessary information to help you make the decision to support us in our traveling lecture series.
I'm driving home with my 12-year-old son, and he just kind of shy, didn't want to talk, but he had a little bit of an issue with your use of the word immigrants versus slaves. And I think you're going to hear that all day long, probably for the next 30 days. But as my son was explaining to me, he said, you can't be an immigrant if you're brought over here against your will in chains.
Immigrants, yes, you can. You can be an involuntary immigrant.
We're brought over here in chains. And as for us giving up and not having the will to live, I mean, it's been shown, none of us were around during that time, but if you put yourself in that situation and you're being brought to some place you're unfamiliar with and you do not want to be put into bondage, yeah, there were reasons. I don't think they were weak people. I think it was very brave for somebody to decide that they did not want to come over to a foreign country, a foreign land, not knowing what the future lies, and but knowing they would be treated the way they were being treated in the hull of that ship and put in bondage. They made that ultimate decision. I don't think it was anything to hang heads or be sad about, but we need to have our people who are in front of us, who are in positions of authority, not try to dumb down our struggle. You know,
well, you should be. We should be proud of the fact that our ancestors were able to survive through all of that.
That's right.
And that they were able mentally. They had the mental strength to be able to sustain themselves.
Dr. Carson, speak. Go ahead, Doctor. I'm sorry, Terry. Let him speak. We're going to get back to you. Go ahead, Doctor.
No, I'm just saying we should be proud to have ancestors that had the mental strength to endure what so many others had not been able to endure. They tried to enslave all kinds of people, but they were not able to survive it. And that requires a tremendous amount of toughness and willpower and strength and hope and faith. And they had that.
This is Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Reuben Dockery. We're talking from the topic, how do I blow up? How can I find success in urban America? Let me thank, looks like we have Mario Abney checking us out. Thank you, Mario. Feel free to give us a call, 657-383-0944. We would love to entertain your comments, your questions, all of those things. Look like we have Georgia Dockery and Celia that's tuning in with us on Facebook. We thank you for joining us. Feel free to give us a call. Again, that number is 657-383-0944. You are why we're here. We're happy to hear from you. But right now we have our regular panelists, Pastor Ricky Wall and Brother Charles, who's been keeping up with us on the line. Charles, I wanted to ask you, as you listened to Dr. Carson's dialogue with the woman, what was your first thought?
Oh, man. First of all, I wanted him to let her finish talking. She was making some good points.
Okay.
Man,
you know, for you know what she's saying. I mean, that's totally it. And, you know, what she was saying is totally correct. I mean, in the order that it happens and everything, I mean, that do play an effect.
Okay. What about you, Pastor Waller?
Well, I basically was thinking about making mention of slavery, you know, and how different ones was being enslaved, but some was unable to bear it. And, you know, oftentimes I wonder about that myself, even today, you know, why would we be enslaved in the beginning? And so then I discovered later on, you know, according to the Bible, you know, it said, don't you realize that you become the slave of whatever you choose to obey? So that, that means to me that, you know, what and who am I obeying that would cause me to be a slave? Why come it can't be a turnover here? You know what I mean? Let you see how it feels to be enslaved and everything. I don't really get it, and I'm still seeking, you know, because I know God is no respect of person. I mean, today I didn't know that back then.
Right.
So it kind of gives me a sense of, you know, why do one have to be in the year 2017 as it began to wind down, the mindset of some still are being enslaved and being able to endure what the slave, apparently the slave master, you know, so just want you to elaborate on it a little bit for me, if you will.
So Pastor, let me give you a little background to the conversation.
Yes,
Dr.
Sir.
Carson was on a radio show very similar to this one. He was a guest, and he was, some people, particularly African Americans, were frustrated when he made reference to slaves as immigrants. And the news media took a clip of what he said and blew it up, right? And he was trying to explain on this show what he meant or what immigrant means. If you look it up, you can find it right now in the dictionary. It's anyone that comes from the outside, inside. You have immigrated or migrated from one place to another. His point was that it was forced migration on people of Afro descent. It was forced migration. And he went on further to say that the most outstanding quality and attribute of those people who were forced to come from the outside of America, from the continent of Africa, into the Western Hemisphere in America, and forced to, through slavery, be a part of that culture. It was not a fun thing at all. But his thing was, it took grit and it took something special. And I brought that up, gentlemen, because I think that, I don't think, I know that that's related to what we're talking about. We have to let brothers and sisters understand that no matter what happened yesterday or how bad it was, there's a lesson to be learned from that experience. You can be mad if you want to, right? And you can spend your energy and time wanting to get back, or you can channel that into your success. Charles, what do you think about that? What do you think about
Charles? Yeah, that would definitely be my drive. It makes me want to achieve even more, knowing that I got that much going against me.
Right.
But I tell you what, I see as a kid, I knew a little bit about what was going on, but I know, of course, I know a whole lot more now.
Okay.
That would definitely be my strength to make me go forward and want to succeed, just because I got so much going against me. The odds are bidding against me, going for me.
Right. You know, what's interesting, gentlemen, is oftentimes other people say they want to help you, right, Pastor Waller? They say, I want to help you. But when they get through, they done took over your life. And they're dictating to you what you do.
My goodness.
Not in control no more.
What type of help is that?
What kind of help is that, right?
Yeah.
Here's the thing.
Exactly.
I ain't going to help you unless you let me do it my way. If you don't do it my way, I'm out of here. I'm done with you. Is that help?
Yeah. Help with reservations.
Help?
No, that's not genuine.
No, but that is manipulation, my friend.
Yeah.
That's what that is. And what I'm saying is, Charles, we have to get over the fear of success and failure to the point that we say, yes, if someone wants to assist me, I'll let them know how and when they can. But they definitely don't need to be dictating to me how I identify myself and what my end is going to be. If you appreciate my struggle, then stand back and recognize that I'm going to have to go through the struggle. At the end of the day, I'm the beneficiary of either my failure or success. Now, if you got some good ideas about how you succeeded and what worked, by all means, share that with me. But don't try to take over now. Right, hold on now. Where they doing that at?
Oh, no.
What are you going to say, Pastor?
That's not sincere. You know, that help you're talking about, I mean, it's just like going to the throne of God. And let us therefore boldly to the throne of God, that
right.
we may obtain mercy and find grace to help us in time of need.
Watch out.
In other words, that's a genuine form of help. In other words, I know you're having a hard time, you're having a rough time right now, but bring it to me, and then I will assist you. And then you go on and live life and do what you are assigned to do. However, you know, I myself personally, you know, I was angry when I discovered that what I was doing brought forth success, but it wasn't good success.
That's right.
And in my demonstrating what I was doing, you know, I was in my ignorance. I didn't know any better. I was unlearned.
Sure.
But I was doing all I can do because I had a mother, you know, done all she could do to bring up six kids. And so things
right.
like that. And I wanted to, you know, not repay her, but I wanted the best for my mother. I wanted to do things
Correct.
For her, you know, things like that. Correct. And so I got captured very early. And again, as I say, you know, it brought forth an anger, not to no one else who enslaved
right.
me. It was that I was ignorant and didn't know any better, you see. And so today, you know, I'm aware that, as I said earlier, God is no respecter of person. And he said, this is the day that the Lord has made. So that means that the Lord fixed this day, put it in motion. So I have a right, as any other person in the world, to do what I can do with a gift of mine, or if I'm striving to learn some things, as you said. And then if I need some help, don't try to take over because you gave me it. You know, and I think that's what you're saying. It's a lot that's going down, you know.
Look,
Bad
Pastor. Pastor, you're on the basketball court, and the only way you're going to let me play with your basketball is I let you lead the team.
Yeah.
And if I start dunking on you, then you want to take your ball home, and I ain't got no ball to play with no more.
No ball to play with, man. I mean, no ball to play with. You see that happen, man. Yeah, man, take your ball and you move on now.
If
they
ain't going to win, ain't nobody going
to
play.
Yeah, man, that's it. That's the way it's been. And, we got to get through
this, though. I want to reference the text in Psalms 81:11.
Mm-hmm.
For the Lord God is a sun and shield.
Yeah.
The Lord give grace and glory. Watch this, gentlemen. No good thing.
No good.
Will he withhold from them? Watch this. Here's a condition, though. This is the point I'm trying to make. It's no good thing that he'll withhold from those that walk uprightly.
That's right.
Now, I ask myself, Charles, what do you mean by that? I know I'm walking right and got some nice shoes on with it.
What is that?
Are you trying to tell me it's a certain way I should go? Absolutely. Those that are successful learn to discipline themselves to a course and a walk of life that is going to bring ultimately their success. And if a man or woman does not to be disciplined, does not want to hold their own constitution, hold themselves accountable to their own constitution. You're not willing to do that. You know, you're not going to make it in the world. You're floating like a leaf in the wind. That's the fault that any good people have. I'm sorry, go ahead. Go ahead. Somebody was
speaking. Go ahead. I was just saying, that's true, because you really do hold it. I mean, you got to walk that thing out. You want it bad enough, you'll get it, you know. I mean, when you're young, I mean, you struggle for a reason. You know, that's a sign of saying get out the situation, not to stay in it. You know, you don't want to get
right.
You don't want to struggle and get comfortable in yourself struggling like that. A lot of people get in their comfort zone and decide to stay right there, but that's a sign.
Mm-hmm.
That's your goal, letting you know you're better than the situation. So you got to get yourself out of that situation. That's
mm-hmm.
a struggle.
The
biblical character Job says, though he slayed me, yet will I trust him.
Mm-hmm.
And
okay.
after he's tried me, I shall come forth. Watch it now.
Mm-hmm.
As pure gold. Now, do y'all know how you try to see if gold is real gold or not? Put it in a little, put a little heat under it.
You got to put it in more. Yes, you do.
Huh?
You got to put it in more.
Y'all got to put a little heat under it. And if you get a little char, all you got to do is take a cloth and wipe it right out because real gold ain't going to burn. Help me, Holy Ghost.
Yeah, go ahead.
But some people don't want to be tried in the fire, man, but they want to be successful. You know, they
yeah.
want all that life have to offer, but they ain't ready to put no work in. Now, what's wrong with that picture?
I don't think they recognize it. They get into it and they feel it. They feel the fire, and the fire, I don't know, it's scary or something. They don't want to feel the fire. They just want everything just real smooth. It's right, you know, come right to them. But, man, it's after that pain, it's pleasure. So you want to go through
that's
that fire because it feels even better when you achieve it. I mean, same thing,
yes,
you know, it hurts you to make, you got to go through that fire.
Yes, sir.
Enjoy
yes,
going
sir.
Through that because it feels real good.
Man.
By itself, because you don't know. Once you go through that fire, you achieve it. You don't mind going through the fire because you know it's joy on the other side.
Right.
Absolutely.
And see, and Charles, that's powerful what you're saying. When you know that this is what I want and it's important for me to go through this fire, the good news is when at the end of my journey, I got something that I want, right?
Right.
And I earned it. Can't nobody take that away from me. Can't nobody take that.
Can't
young cats want to fight all the time and defend what they think is theirs and they got a right to. But the problem is, if somebody's giving you something, be a little leery about that, man. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Wait a minute. Hold on. What you? Why you want to get?
Hey,
you know what I mean?
Right. Uh huh.
I mean,
go ahead.
Shouldn't I do something to earn this? Why are you giving this to me? But
yeah, well, you know. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Pastor. Go ahead.
I was thinking when you're walking in expectations and you said no good things, what I would hold from you, from
yes.
those, from them who walk uprightly, and that means that becomes lifestyle in spite of the struggle, as Brother Charles was saying earlier, and I like what we are stirring up right now because it is a gift to be able to press forth towards the mark.
Right. Right.
And once
right.
you press it, that means that change is taking place and change doesn't
mm.
feel good in the beginning because of the
mm.
struggle. You know?
Mm.
And when you're exercising, you know, your mindset, that's where the struggle is, man, because the enemy knows that in your mind, if you have your mind regulated and get on the right track,
right.
And you're walking according to the one in whom we've heard so much about. And he said that he is the heart fixer, the mind regulator, you know, the weight maker, you know, things
right.
like that. And then if he's fixing in our heart, you know, and that's where it's at, man, because the enemy don't want nobody to receive the power of what's fitting for the heart. You know, and I've learned that through the process of not seeing the change, but I continued to strive, and eventually the change took place. And,
right.
you know, and then the word of God does say, these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But soon as they have heard,
mm.
the enemy coming to take away the word that was sown in your heart. So if you get a
right.
genuine word in your heart and the enemy can strip you from it, you know, and you don't even know it, because he does come to steal, kill, and to destroy. And so that causes a lot of people to want to get that success real fast, man, because to be patient and to be able to wait and to hold on, seeing all of this going on right before you, it's not easy to have your mindset for many now, and I'm not just talking about because I got captured. I mean, there's many people right now that cannot handle waiting, wondering how long it's going to take for it to come to pass. And
that's true.
Pretty true thing. You know, a lot of people don't know about the Word of God.
Right.
You're talking about walking by faith and not by sight. You know, those things sound good, you know, but when you really don't know, man, you go for what you know. And that's how I went to sleep so deep and had that dream about that money that I was used to seeing that wasn't mine, you know, and then started to dream about it and woke up and it wasn't there. And I started chasing after money, man. You know,
it's a sad
situation, brother, that's going on as we speak. It's happening
right.
to young brothers, man. I mean, and that's
sure.
just the way it's designed.
Sure.
If you're not used to and you get captured, I mean, it's going to be a part of your thinking. And
right.
You're not going to think about getting it slow, you know. It's like fast
yeah.
and in a hurry, speedy. I got to have it right here, right now. And I
right
just feel pretty bad about it. Yeah, I feel pretty bad about that still. You know, not beating myself up, but I still feel pretty bad about that. Having nothing to offer
right.
to society, you know, other than I've been there. And one was, oh, yeah, you used to be this. And, no, I'm really actually giving you something that I know that is actually appropriate to have. Watch out for that trap. You know,
right.
take this information. Because the trap
That's
is set for you. And they want you
right.
to get in there fast, speedily. And then that's where the mind is captured.
See, Pastor,
yep.
that's the most powerful thing right there, is especially for those who've already been beat up. You know what I mean? You done tripped and
yeah.
fell, bump your head already. You ought to be able to
Man.
Tell somebody how to avoid that experience, right?
Yes,
sir.
And
I think that's where sometimes good people miss out on opportunities to help those that are coming behind them. We see our failures or mistakes. I won't even call them failures. I'll call them setbacks or mistakes. We see that as
mm-hmm.
some sort of you know what I mean? As if we're going to
yeah.
look back. Well, it was a bad thing, and it wasn't the right thing. But there's a lesson to be learned. And that's the way I believe you all
yeah.
look at it. Don't go like you plan to, you know what we say, Charles? Man, I did that for nothing. No, you did it because you were trying to reach a goal. You just got deterred. That's all. It wasn't for nothing. You had a purpose for it. You just have to figure
right.
out how you can get back on course.
Yeah,
there you
maybe.
Go. That's it.
So, but one other thing that this guy, very interesting. Charles, I use these rap artists as case studies. And in my lecture series, I use them as well when we're doing presentations. Because the truth of the matter is, even though they got paid, you know what they got paid to do? They got paid to appeal to the minds of people that are out there right now. And especially in that generation, those that are watching them. And so for that reason, what they say is instructive, and there's some instruction to it, even if it's nasty and low down, right? It's something you can learn
yeah.
from it. But big timers, you know who they are, right, Mike? I mean, you know who they are, don't you, Charles?
I do.
All right. You listen to the guy's conversation, man, and it's kind of funny to me. He's in a pipe dream, Charles. This cat is in his own little world. In his world, he's king. But in the real world, he's drowning. He don't even know it. Give us,
right.
just listen for a second. Listen for a second.
Straight to the mall and set on the inside. That proud of Gucci
the ghetto, on the block, that's what you call game. That's what you call game. You're listening to the Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dockery. We're talking from the topic, how do I blow up? I think this cat thought he blew up already, but we'll hopefully get it. How do I find success in urban America? 657-383-0944. We got about another 29 minutes. Give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. It looks like we may have a few people tuning, just watching us here. I hope Tracy Jordan, Greg Smith, Mario Abney, welcome. Thank you. Feel free to give us a call here. We'll be happy to have you. Merle Dockery, give us a call. We'll be happy. And Mr. Kia L., love to have you call us, 657-383-0944. You don't have to, but we'll be happy to hear from you. Charles, ain't got no job, right? Can't even put no gas in his car, huh?
I'm still fly, though.
But he's still fly.
I don't know how he's going to knock the man game, man.
He got game now. He straight got game. But what's wrong with that, y'all?
I mean, it's backwards, man. He's setting you up to be in debt, man, to continue to struggle for the rest of your life. That's bad behavior. I'm sorry, man. Unacceptable. But good hustle. I mean, great. I already got people to sing the song. I'm going to people singing the song and everything. I remember when it came out. That's a setup of failure, man, with that mind frame, man. It really will.
Because what he's doing, sir, is making excuses. He say, I don't have all the basic necessities of life, but I'm still fly. And the question is, where you get your clothes from, big time? How you eat? You understand what I'm saying? He has made a professional hustle at getting over on other people. If it wasn't for perhaps his mama, his grandmama, his sister, his auntie, or a girlfriend, a baby mama, somebody, he probably wouldn't be able to breathe.
Oh, man.
I ain't knocking a man hustle now. Don't get me wrong. Look, don't think I'm knocking a man hustle. What I'm saying is he need to get it together, man, because the older you get, the world don't care.
Actually, you're in the world, you know, because, and I'm thankful for the one that's listening, because the word of God does say faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And I tell you one thing about when you said something about this brother, whom I don't know anything about. However, he's a character. Yeah, I understand. But listen to what I heard, what I got out of it is that pretending to be something that you're not, you're going to deceive yourself, you see.
Right.
And a lot of that is going on, too. You know, you're perpetrating, it sounds like to me, they say you're perpetrating a fraud. And I tell you, man, it's amazing on how a person can hear things. And those ones who's getting a whole lot of money can pass it down and have people responding in such a way where they're proclaiming what they heard them say. And all of a sudden, they become vicious toward one another. You know, and then start to do what it's designed to do, and that is corrupt communities.
And see,
when that's happening, then it's worth supporting. It's worth making sure that they get it out there and things like that, man. I mean, when you're trying to destroy something or somebody, you have to have the equipment. You have to have the tools, the instruments, and that's what people are, an instrument to do what's right. Or an instrument to do what's wrong. And some are stuck in the middle who don't know which way to go. That's called confusion.
That's true.
And there's a lot of it going on, man. And so I think what we're talking about tonight, man, the power of words, you know, life and death is in the power of the tongue.
Pastor, if I could just add this to what you're saying, man. You know, the rap is making money, okay? And he probably can live that quality of life. But it's that young cat out there, Charles, that hadn't bust a sweat and hadn't completed a full day's work, who wake up in the morning, go to bed at night with this mindset, I'm still fly. I'm basically it's almost like I don't exist, right?
Mm-hmm.
But in your
mm-hmm.
mind, you convince yourself that you fly. You understand what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
The most dangerous thing you can do is lie to yourself.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Without a doubt.
Oh, yeah. And be comfortable in the lie.
And get comfortable in the lie. Because when somebody come along to try to encourage you and motivate you to do different, you revert back to the what? The lie that you told yourself. In psychology, they call that a lie-based thinking or a lie-based thought, where you plant the seed in your own mind that you're something that you're really not. Huh?
My goodness.
That's one of the negative effects of rap music and videos. It gives young people and some older, chronologically grown people too, the notion that it's okay to walk around acting like an imbecile and doing absolutely nothing to prepare yourself for tomorrow. You know?
It sounds unaware of the trap.
Yeah.
You know,
and that's just
like
the work.
If you don't know the trap, then goodness, it happens. Go ahead, brother.
I feel like that's the type of stuff need to be taught in school. Because, the more I live, I understand that life is not common sense. It's not, you're not born to know what to do. And that's figured out through whatever, that controls our school system, the TV media. There's people out here that know that, because when you think about it and just look around, all the good things that make wealth is hidden. It's not in plain view sight. You never see nobody out here growing the food. You never see how the business is really built. Even construction, they even put blankets over the window so you can't even learn how to do what they do. It's controlled out here. When you start seeing like these people are hiding stuff, you need to start going out here looking and trying to figure these things out. It's strategically planned to hide success and hide what people are. They're good hiders out here. They hide stuff. So that's why people go back to music. That's the stuff you can see. You can see people acting crazy, doing all the crazy stuff, and it's designed to be like that.
That's right.
It's amazing how it is. I can see it. They say the best place to hide some stuff is in a library, but we got internet these days. There's really no excuse for the new generation. They just need to figure out what to tap into.
Well, Charles, you make that valid point, my brother. But I would add this to what you're saying. Babies don't know that they should be looking for certain things, and this is why they need the proper guidance to set them on the right course. When the Bible said, raise up a child in the way that he should go, and that's applicable to a she too, that's specific for a reason. There is a proper way that they should go. Now, what I hear people say is you can let children decide where they want to go. That's the most dangerous thing you can do, my humble opinion.
I agree with that. That's dangerous. Like, even for high school students about to go to college, I recommend the parents set the child in the right direction. They're not mature enough to make a decision what you want to be when you grow up. You need somebody with a little bit more background, a little bit more experience with life to decide for your child. So when you're out there raising a child and about to go off to college, I recommend you put them in that direction. Even at high school, you might want to start putting them in that direction. You can't trust they're gonna pick and decide to do what do it on their own, because they're not. They're gonna waste their time and waste their money and have to pay that money back and still be back at square one.
Wow. And Charles, I think you would agree that may not be everybody, but it's a large number of people who fell in that hole already. We know that for a fact. And to your point, Charles, to your point, if by the time your child gets to 12th grade in high school, that's the first time they're thinking about going to college, they're already back. They're already at a deficit. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
Let me tell you what our white brothers and sisters do, and to their credit. What our white brothers and sisters do is they work on their children at an early age with planting a seed of identity and thought and setting goals. So by the time, Charles, they graduate high school and go to college, they're not trying to figure out what they want to do for a career. They're just trying to get letters behind their name so they can do what they already been working on. Are you walking with me?
There you go. exactly.
And our babies can be better prepared if we start telling them, ain't no need you be trying to walk around there acting like you a duck when you a, you know, you a human being. You understand what I'm saying? Quit clowning like you a monkey or something and act like a human being. That means be responsible, be disciplined, be focused, be deliberate about what you do. It ain't got to be happenstance and you just do stuff off the fly. That's something that I believe that more people, and this is not just blacks, of course, but certainly in my immediate experience, that's what I see on a regular basis. And certainly I've made it an effort to go and help my folk because I've come from that. Having come from the ghetto, I know what it's like for a young person to say they want to blow up. They just want to make it big overnight. You know, and speaking of which, I think one of the worst things, this is just my opinion, it's one man's opinion, is this reality TV. What is it where you go on TV and you sing and they give you a contract and you become big all of a sudden overnight? American Idol.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
It's
okay.
A pipe dream, man. It's a pipe dream.
It is.
Folks think that you literally can avoid the discipline of work and planning and structure and just go out and make it big all of a sudden because you sing that good. It don't work like that. It doesn't work like
it
that.
It don't.
I'm sorry, somebody was going to say something.
I was going to say, you're right, it don't work like that. Because if you go behind the scenes, those even the people that just the kids admire on TV, they're doing a lot more behind the scenes work than it appears to be.
Absolutely.
They put countless out. I mean, anything that you want to pursue out here, you got to put a lot of time into, a lot of practice, a lot of effort, a lot of trial and error. You don't, most people only see the finished result, but nobody go back and look at the homework and all the stuff, you know, all the stuff that it took for that person to get to that point. Everybody just look at the final result.
That's it.
I mean, it looks easy from that point, but go back a little further and see what it actually took. The playing basketball in there. He spent a lot of time in that gym. I mean, a lot.
That's right.
Not just
that's
a little
right.
bit. I played Thursday today in my neighborhood, and I played against my cousin. No, man, them people play, man, they play people older than them at young ages. They constantly
right.
playing basketball. They playing basketball
right.
with no back boot. They that serious
that's
about the jump shot. I mean, you got to put more than the average work in.
Yeah,
they're
on their grind, ain't
they? I mean, they're athletic, but you got to see the work that's being put in behind that athleticism.
Correct. And, you know, that's what makes it so terrible when a athlete, as you're saying, Charles, have worked so hard, man, and then they find themselves caught up in drugs or in some violence and some foolishness, you know what I mean, and just ruin their whole career. Pac-Man Jones was a good example. Talented kid, man. You can't take that away from him. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Worked real hard,
oh,
but his mind wasn't right.
Well,
with all due respect.
Yeah,
go ahead,
I mean, it happens, man. It happens, I mean, speedily. It happens quick. I mean, as I say, I use the best example that I know. I mean, it's only me being fair with myself. I'm
right.
that example, you know, that I was asleep, man. I mean, I was asleep with the basketball in my hand, walking around shooting it, dribbling, doing all kind of passes, but still asleep. I was not awake. You know, it was
you,
that
you
strong.
Actually, you devoted a whole chapter to that in your book, I recall reading, where you talked about that, how you should have been going to college, playing ball, and possibly going to the pro.
I mean, that thing was so strong on me, I didn't even know who I was. I mean, if you're in a deep sleep like that, you cannot, and at least I couldn't, and I wasn't trying to go to the pros. I wasn't saying I was going to go to the pros. I didn't even talk like that. I done it for fun. However, still, the material in which I was affiliated with, you know, that possibly could have happened, and which today I'm glad I didn't. You know what
mm-hmm.
I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But it's amazing, man. And so many people are actually striving to go to the pros or the NFL and the big league, you know. And I mean, it's really, really attractive. And it's like a they are fighting for the rights, as Brother Charles was talking about. These guys are practicing very hard. I mean,
and
going through the future, but not all of them are going to make it, in spite of how good they are. I may not even been able to make it. I mean, we got a chance to see, but I could have been the one that didn't even make it. But it's just the thought of how powerful being asleep is, man, in whatever area it's in. I mean, it's amazing, man. To come out of the sleep, though, and to recognize it, it's like, man, whoa, how did I sleep so long? And,
I fuck myself for being asleep. I don't feel like it's designed to be that way. I wouldn't even take it like you're asleep. I wouldn't say you're asleep. It just, it's that hidden out here. It's designed to be like that. You're not going to recognize yourself. You can't recognize yourself. That's the whole point.
Yes, sir. It's designed.
Charles, that's what
that's
what is called social engineering. When you set a mechanism in place for people, we talked about O-parent conditioning the other day, right? And how it was a process by which you ain't got to put your hand on nobody. Excuse my English. You don't have to touch anyone. They have been conditioned to behave in such a manner that you know you're going to be able to make a fool out of. Right?
Yes, sir. Yes,
that's deep, man. That's deep.
Yes, sir.
You don't even know. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I'm just going to say it's monkey see, monkey do. Monkey see, monkey do it here. If the monkey can't see nothing, monkey can't do nothing. All the thing. They let you see what they want you to see. They're going to let you see your way in the jail.
Where you say put something on the monkey's ass.
Hey, put something on the monkey's ass. He want to see something. Don't show him nothing good.
No.
That's the whole thing. Once you realize that it's not going to just happen, you're going to have to seek knowledge and you're going to have education, you need to go out here and find it. It's hidden. It's a treasure hunt. Find it. You need to know that.
That's so true. And what we found, Charles, historically, is there have been many people. You said get education. They didn't get a formal education from a brick-and-mortar building, but they learned from their experiences, man, and it made them better men and women for it, right? And they even passed that down to the next generation. They documented their struggle such that it was a lesson. That's the thing. We got a lot of historical writers and what have you, but what seems to me as a student of history needs to be in place is that we need a structured instructional manual for how to raise a young boy up, Charles, from birth to being a responsible man and a father. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm. I agree.
That's how focused deliberate need to be.
It is. And I recommend, I know parents probably have to go as well, too. It's a lot. I mean, never too old to learn. somebody got to start right in the house too. Sometimes, like, but
absolutely.
As the blind leading the blind, you know. I mean, you
watch
can't teach a child to be a man if the man in the house not even a man. Yeah, you're a man in age, not wisdom. That's what we lose at.
Absolutely.
But if I had to point the finger, I would point it on the education system. But same time, I mean,
but,
you got to.
But you know, Charles, our education should start within the first social unit, and that's your family. That's where education begins. See, the first examples are those that are closest to you, your parents and your siblings and what have you. That's where the instruction should begin. When you think about education, the prefix to the word is to educe. You bring in something that's in you out already. What you don't know is what's in you. The process of learning is to help you bring out what you got in you. And a lot of people don't know their greater talents, man, their gifts and possibilities and prospects in life and what have you. They go through life just like a zombie, man, just like a zombie.
They do.
But there's yet hope. The good news is there's hope for finding success in urban America. Somebody asked me, Pastor Waller, why do you focus on urban America? Well, because that's where when you look at all the data educationally, you look at the crime data, you look at the health data, economic data, that's where people are struggling the most. Yes, you okay. have poverty, you have poverty-ridden rural or country-type settings and what have you, but a whole lot of money has been spent on the ghetto and the urban areas, but yet very little outcome, positive, productive, have come, collectively speaking, for everybody. And that's a problem.
And when you say that's very little positive, yeah, very little
right.
positive. So
you
there are
see
examples.
It.
Huh?
Yeah, there are examples, but if
yeah,
a tree falls in the forest and you don't know it fell, did it fall?
Yeah,
it
and
might
that's
have
the
fell
thing,
not.
And that is it. That's the problem right there that we're having. You know, the examples that are being presented, sometimes, you know, people that are, in other words, I be around and I see a lot going on out in the streets, right? And, you know, the examples that people are setting for the little ones who's coming up don't realize that they're watching you. So if they're watching you, they pick up a bad habit.
Right.
They're not saying it's a bad habit. They're just picking up the habit, you see?
That's
and,
right.
You know, and it's happening like that, man. I mean, I see a lot of it. I mean, when I see a lot of it, and I don't think they're doing it intentionally. They're not, you know,
no.
saying, hey, go take your smoke, buy your cigarette, take your drink. You know, some may do that, but for the most part, they're not doing that. But their actions, and I thought Charles was talking about earlier about your action speaks louder than the word. I was told not to do this, not to do that, but the ones who told me not to do this and that and the other, they were doing it. And so I was being on, you know, hey, I don't know no better, but seeing them doing it, what's wrong with me doing it? And that was the mentality, man. Then, as well as I know now, it's going on. I mean, his young brother's being captured very early now, even more so
oh, yeah.
when I was coming up.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, amazingly. The
oh,
example
yeah.
is powerful. We need good
and you know,
brother,
we're in a time now where in society there's this either intentional or a consequential fight or struggle between genders, males and females. So much so to the emphasis is put on helping and empowering females so they can catch up and compete with males. I think that is a
what?
Counterproductive position to be in, especially if you want to build and sustain a normal society through family and community. You know what I mean? We don't need one another competing with each other. I realize. Huh?
Yeah, what's up with that? To catch up and compete with the man with the woman competing.
Well, young girls are encouraged to outdo or compete with their male counterpart.
Oh, man.
That's troubling. And
yeah.
so the case that is made, well, we don't need to focus on boys no more. They already got theirs. Let's give it to the girls. And you got young cats growing up, man, don't know their right foot from their left.
Hmm.
You understand what I'm saying? And they get
right.
caught up in
not
the game.
Yeah, that's it.
This is Talk Straight. This is Talk Straight. I'm going to talk
yeah.
straight to you. That's a problem.
Yeah, that's it,
man.
That's what truth
problem.
Is. We need that.
That's
we need truth, man.
That's a problem. That's a problem. Pastor Waller, I'm going to have
yes,
to take
sir.
That clock away from you, man. We got five minutes.
I think, man, it's amazing. I don't even have a battery in my watch, man. That's a starting point.
So you ain't got a battery in your watch.
You know what I mean? That's a starting point right there. So we're going to do good about that. You got to tell
all
me
right,
what time
right.
it is. Dude. Amazing.
Well, you know, in these last few minutes, gentlemen, I want to, on this thought right here, I want to emphasize that the blow up, the idea of blowing up, I don't want to discourage anybody from dreaming, right, and wanting something big. I just want to encourage you to be realistic and honest with yourself about the difference in just blowing up overnight and putting the work in to be successful for the rest of your life. That is the point that I want
yeah.
to drive. It's not about the quick fix. and that quick high, but it's about still high. I wish I had a witness. I wish I had a witness.
Oh, yeah.
See, is that right, Pastor Wells?
You said something like that, man.
It's about being still high the rest of your life. And you ain't even got to touch
right.
no stuff.
That's right, brother.
Stuff.
It's better for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
It's healthier.
Sometimes that long route, it seems long.
Uh-huh.
But when you take that bad route, you get set back so many years, you'll figure out that long route wasn't as long as you thought it was. Sometimes 4 years of education seems like that's a lot of years. I got to do 4 years of education to get what I want. That's a long time. But just think if you kept a charge for 20 years, you can't get out of jail.
Wow.
But then you got to do 4 years of education. So you're looking at 24 years. So which one you want to do?
Right. Right.
That's
you want to do
right.
a guarantee 4 years positive, or you want to do 20 years negative?
That's
right.
Is that
here's the reality, Charles. 4 years mm-hmm. going to come and go as long as you're alive, whether you're doing something productive or not. If you're
right.
productive,
mm-hmm.
you can look back and say, look what I've done in 4 years. If you're counterproductive, you can say, man, look how I wasted time the last 4 years.
Wasted 4 years. That's true.
Oh, yeah. Man.
That's it.
My goodness.
But time ain't going to stop for us. No,
the clock ain't going to stop.
No.
Time
you know what I found out about time, Charles?
Uh-huh.
I found out about time that is selfish, man. You can get up early enough and wait on time. And when it comes, you can walk with it. If you get up in just enough time, you can run and catch up with it. But if you're late, it ain't going to wait on you. Selfish,
no,
sir. Right?
Yes, sir. It's not going to wait on you, brother.
No, sir.
And we have no time to waste.
No
That's
time
right.
to waste. This
We're
is
already
behind.
We're playing kids up. We can't waste no
wow.
time.
Wow. Wow. All right, gentlemen, we got about 2.5 minutes here. 30 seconds. 30 seconds of something to hold on to. Charles?
Yeah, I was saying.
I don't know what I want to say, but I just want to say just value your time because the older you get, the sooner the better, I say that.
Yeah.
Pain don't always last, but if you, as long as you're shooting towards something, I say it's worth going through the fire. Just don't stand in the fire all your life. Just don't sit in the fire and just get burned up. Just don't do that.
Move.
That's all I want to say.
All right, Pastor, right quickly.
I think we have a right to meditate on this day and night and strive to have good success. You know, good success comes from that. You know, not just the success, but good success. Where Brother Charles says, spend 20 years in prison versus going to college for 4 years and have some good success with the knowledge and the wisdom that you receive. Makes a difference.
That's it.
Good point.
That's it. Wow. Okay. Listening audience, you've been listening to the Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dockery. We were talking about how do I blow up, how do I find success in urban America. Please go to our Facebook. Go to www.bfcinstitute.com. Learn about what we're doing. Support our cause. I want to thank Pastor Waller and thank Brother Charles for joining us tonight. And we will be back Thursday night, Lord willing, in the creek. With another episode of Talk Straight, and we will see you then. Until then, may the peace of God be upon you.
Well, son, I tell you, life for me ain't been no crystal stair. It's had tacks in it and splinters and boards torn up and places with no carpet on the floor bare. But all the time I's been a climbing on and reaching ladders and turning corners, sometimes going in the dark where there ain't been no light.